Hi everyone, you are listening to WMEC. Hi everyone, you are listening to WMEC FM College Park. My name is Andrew, and this is Pop, Past, and Present. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to start with a wonderful PSA. I think I'm going to choose a long one because I just got locked out of my laptop. So I'm going to choose the graduate labor. Oh wait, I support the graduate student labor. It's the graduate student labor PSA. Clean. So hope you enjoy.
From all of you good workers, good news to you I'll tell of how the good old union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Are you a graduate assistant, research assistant, or teaching assistant at UMD? Are you tired of low pay, long hours, high fees, and no safety net for international students? So are we. The UMD Graduate Labor Union is organizing for collective bargaining rights for graduate workers on campus.
Right now, the administration unilaterally controls our working conditions, but we are fighting to change that. To learn more about graduate labor organizing efforts on campus and what a union can do for you, visit umdgradworkers.org.
So for today's episode, I wanted to talk about, I love this artist very much, but I used to be absolutely obsessed with her back in 2020. Her name is Rina Sawayama. I wanted to talk about her 2020 album, Sawayama, because I think that that was one of like the pieces of music that I most closely like identify with like the COVID shutdown. Like I remember like riding my bike in my neighborhood or like playing like Minecraft to it. And I want to begin with, I think still to my, like to this day, my favorite song by her. I've played it on the show before. All she had were some like bleached bangs and a dream, and she made it work. This is Excess by Rina Sawayama. Okay. So
it all don't have to choose. I'm the hard ones, what it wants, what can I do? So I took that one, yeah, that one too. Luxury and opulence, Cartier, set, Tesla, X's, Calabasas. I deserve it. Call me crazy, call me selfish. I'm the best.
right. I think The Excess is a wonderful song. It introduced me to her. The first time I heard it, it blew my mind because it managed to fuse like so many like cliches of like 2000s R&B together with like 2000s new metal, but also like just the pop of the time as well. And I think it really just like blends the three of them together in such like a masterful way. And I still can't really think of any artists that have managed to do the same. I think that there have been a few other artists though that managed to kind of encapsulate the almost like extremes that she's been able to in her music. In an interview in 2020, she stated that two of her biggest influences were the artist Holly Valance and the artist Hikaru Utada. And I want to talk about Utada because I also have a very soft spot in my heart for them. But Holly Valance, I wasn't really familiar with until like, I think maybe 3 years ago at this point. I was just trying to find something else that really does like scratch the same itch that Rina does. And so I listened to Holly Valance and a lot of her work. I think it's very like fair. It's kind of boring to me. But she has this one song called State of Mind that I think is so much more like out there than the rest of her work. It was so much more experimental and I really like it. And there's also a video of her performing it at a mall for like three people. And then the audio cuts out and she's just standing there for like 2 minutes. And it's really funny. The artist that I'd also like to credit with being able to fuse so many genres together in Rina's work, like in Song Success, was her primary producer for the album Sawayama, which I'll start to talk about later. His name is Clarence Clarity, and he, I think, is the second most important player in making this album sound as unique as it is. So much of his work also plays around with like taking like electronic music to the extremes, and I think can be, like in a similar way to Rina, is just very like maximalist, very manic. And I really enjoy his work there, too. So, up next is State of Mind by Holly Valance and Obsessed with My Shadow Self by Clarence Clarity.
Driving you wild, you're torn up inside. introspection. When you're about to lose it all, you're about to lose it. Better in bed, better opportunities, better I'm dead. Just like that you're upset. Better off losing, better in bed, better opportunities, better I'm dead. Just like that you're upset. It's not amazing. All your questions, cause it's not the time or place, and it's always in the way. We all slip on our egos, we can slide it to the side. Are you sleeping over tonight? Better off losing, better in bed, better opportunities, better off dead. Just like that you're upset. Better off losing, better in bed, better opportunities, better off dead. Just like that you're upset.
So that was Obsessed with My Shadow Self by Clarence Clarity. I'm not the biggest fan of his individual work, but I feel like you can really kind of sense like a lot of his like production kind of like quirks like in his own music, just because he takes them to the absolute extreme. But I think that what makes him and Rena such a good pair is that she kind of like dials it back for him. Rena Sawayama was born, if I'm not mistaken, in the late 80s. In 1990 in Japan, but shortly moved after with her single mother, to England, where which she resided, and if I'm not mistaken, she still does live to this day. I think that because of her cross-cultural upbringing, I think it really has like played like a huge impact in her music. She said in interviews that she feels like she was always kind of caught between two worlds. A part of her always wished she could have like grown up in Japan and almost been like normal because she was outcasted in Japan. But at the same time, she believes that things are better off for her mother having moved to England and making a life for herself. And she is very thankful for what her mother has done for her. And I think that that kind of plays a role in her music. Her debut album, Sawayama, released in mid-April of 2020. And I, again, think it blew a lot of like the music world away just because it was able to like combine so many of these themes together to create like such a consistent pop album. I think that one of the things that really sticks out to me about it is that it's like one of the only albums I can think of where there's not like a single love song on it, even though it is like first and foremost a pop album at the end of the day. I think that so much pop music does focus specifically on like romantic love. And I take back that statement. She doesn't talk about romantic love. So many of the other songs on there talk about friendship. They talk about finding her identity. They talk about like her relationship with her family. And I think that that's one of the other strengths that the album has, is that it talks about so many like underrepresented topics in pop music that I think allowed it to feel so fresh. She also combined a lot of nu metal songs, or she took inspiration from a lot of different nu metal songs and like weaved them almost like perfectly into the album, into creating a lot of like really fantastic pop rock songs. While Excess was the lead single, Excess was the second single. The lead single was a song called STFU, and unfortunately I can't say the title nor play it, but it was I think the most intense song on the album, being a nu metal song. It's kind of about like all the ways in which she feels like she's been like mistreated as a Japanese woman in England, and kind of it's just her way of telling, you know, those who will say disgusting, nasty things to her at STFU. However, there is another song in the album that does sound a little similar. It's a bit less abrasive, more pop-focused, called Who's Gonna Save You Now, which I can play. But there are also so many different, like, new metal bands that did inspire her while making this record. I spoke to one of my good friends, Oge, who is quite familiar, or, like, much more familiar with new metal than me, and she kind of identified, like, some bands that she definitely thinks that Rina Sawayama took inspiration from. I think the music from the band Kitty is the most similar to Rina's song STFU. I think that they're both incredibly intense. Like, I think Kitty is a very intense, female-focused new metal band that has a lot of themes of feminism and, like, being independent within their work. I think really, like, works in conjunction with Rina's desire of being an independent Japanese woman in Britain. Then the band Flyleaf, another new metal band, also has a much more, they have a much more, like, pop-focused sound than, like, Kitty does. I think a lot of Rina's work does kind of fall closer to their sound. So I wanted to play Who's Gonna Save You Now by Rina Sawayama, What I Always Wanted by Kitty, and Again by Flyleaf, to kind of show off the more new metal side of the album.
Save you now. I'll try. I'll try. lovely face, praying it all will be new, and living like it all depends on you. Oh. Here you are, down on your knees again, trying to find air to breathe again, and only surrender will help you now. My love, you'll be seen. Face value, wisdom, and happy lies. You take what they say and go back and cry. You're so close to me that you nearly died. Oh, here you are, down on your knees again, trying to find air to breathe again, and only surrender will help you now.
So I mentioned kind of the like nu metal side to the album, but I also wanted to talk about some of the more like R&B focused influences of the album as well. I unfortunately am not able to play some of the more R&B focused songs just because they're either all explicit or I've just kind of hit my limit for songs I can play from the album. But there is a very clear like 2000s R&B, kind of like girl group R&B inspiration. Rina released like a playlist of some of the songs that inspired her to make it, and there were a ton of girl groups on there, like TLC, Destiny's Child, but the one that she cited like the most frequently in interviews was the Pussycat Dolls. Ooh, excuse me. I've never been like the biggest fan of them, and I haven't like fully listened to them before I was like, oh my goodness, looking into like some research for the episode. And while I still think they're, like, nothing too special to me, I think that they really do, like, encapsulate a lot of, like what popular R&B was at the time. And I think there was this very, like, it doesn't really exist anymore, but this, like, obsession with, like, girl groups and, like, they're just not present anymore. And I think Rina was able to, like, just channel, like, this almost, like the energy, like, the unity of a girl group into her music with almost, like, wanting to, like, unite, like, other people, like, behind her. She said in interviews before that she couldn't really think of any, like, truly Asian, like, popular artists in the Western music sphere, and kind of believed, like, you know, there wasn't anybody she could, like, directly, like, take inspiration from, so she would just have to be that person for someone else. And I think that, like, unity is a big theme throughout a lot of the album. One of her other really big influences from the late 2000s and early 2010s was, and as with many other pop artists now, Lady Gaga. I think that Rina and Gaga actually have a very similar vocal range as well, and even collaborated on a song in 2021 that I want to end us out with. But Brian, I wanted to play a Gaga song that I think really, again, like, encapsulates a sense of, like, unity, of, like, self-love that I think Rina also tries to channel in a lot of her music. So up next is Stick With You by the Pussycat Dolls. and Hair by Lady Gaga.
I don't want to go another day, so I'm telling you exactly what is on my mind. Seems like everybody's breaking up and throwing their love away, but I know I got a good thing right here. That's why I say, hey,
nobody gonna love me better. I must stick with you forever. Nobody gonna take me higher. I must stick with you. You know how to appreciate me. I must stick with you, my baby. Nobody ever made me feel this way. I must stick with you.
I don't wanna go another day, so I'm telling you exactly what is on my mind.
See the way we ride in our private lives, ain't nobody getting in between.
I want you to know that you're the only one for me.
When I say nobody gonna love me better, I must stick with you forever. Nobody gonna take me higher, I must stick with you. You know how to appreciate me, I must stick with you, my baby. Nobody ever made me feel this way, I must stick with you.
That's all that counts.
So don't you worry about people hanging around. They ain't bringing us down.
I know you and you know me, and that's why I say, hey,
nobody gonna love me better. I must stick with you forever. Nobody gonna take me higher. I must stick with you. You know how to appreciate. Stick with you, my baby. Nobody ever made me feel this way. I must stick with you. Nobody gonna love me better. I must stick with you forever. Nobody gonna take me higher. I must stick with you. You know how to appreciate me. I must stick with you, my baby.
Nobody ever made me feel this way. I must stick with you.
Whenever I'm dressed cool, my parents put up a fight. And if I'm hot shot, mama cut my hair at night. In the morning, I'm short of my identity. I spit my mom and dad, why can't I be who I wanna be?
I'm
I think it's really, like, I just get so, like, happy, like, when I hear, like, that song, and when I hear so many of the other songs off of Sawayama. I mentioned them earlier, but the only other artist I can think of that's managed to, like, cross over so many different, like, culture of sounds and genres at once, like Rina Sawayama did, was the artist Hikaru Utada. They're about 20 years older than Rina Sawayama, but they share a similar background. I guess an inverse of the background that Rina Sawayama had. They're born in the United States, but moved to Japan at a very young age, and released their first single when they were, like, they released an English single at 15 under the name Cubic U, which I still have not found this day, and I want to go looking for again. But they debuted, they released their debut album in 1999 called First Love in Japan, and it became, like, the best-selling single of all time at the time. I've talked about them in the past before, but I truly don't think any other artist has been able to, like, really emulate the same sound or create the same sound except for Utada and Rina Sawayama, just because of their understanding of both Western and, like, Japanese music. I wanted to play the song Dynasty by Rina Sawayama, the opening song from the album Sawayama, because I think it, like every other song I played by her, really, like, fuses together a lot of the sounds of the album. It is the final song I can play on the album, and there's so many other songs on there. I didn't get to play many of the, like, the more pop-focused or R&B-focused ones, but I really think it's just it's an incredible album to listen to. I also wanted to play two of my favorite Utada songs. Moving On Without You by Utada. Oh, excuse me. It is one of their more, like, kind of rock and roll inspired songs. It's much more upbeat. And I think that a lot of, like, Sawayama and Utada's music both, like, references a lot of, like, the kind of, like, rock sound that a lot of J-pop does have. I also want to play the song Sanctuary by Utada, because that is, like, one of my favorite Utada songs. I think it's one that nearly every... Not nearly everybody. I think it is just one of their most popular songs in the English world, because it was used as a theme song for Kingdom Hearts. But also, again, like, it has a very similar, like, guitar sound to, like, Dynasty or, like, the song I played earlier, Excess. So up next is Dynasty by Rina Sawayama, Moving On Without You by Hikaru Utada, and Sanctuary Opening by Hikaru Utada.
I'm losing myself in the darkness of the world. Catch me before I fall. Saving myself is all I really know. Seen it been done before. I'm a dynasty. Pain in my vein is hereditary.
Dynasty, and if that's all, then I'm gone. てるバカみたいじゃない。時計の鐘かなるおとぎ話みたいにガラスのハイヒール見つけてもダメ。買うのが面倒なら早く教えて、私だってそんなに今じゃない。
Stop!
After Sawayama released, or after Rina Sawayama released the album, Rina Sawayama released the album Sawayama, she went on to make a few other like songs for the project. She released a deluxe, but in my mind, she kind of finished off her Sawayama era in the end of 2021 when she featured on the remix album of Lady Gaga's album Chromatica. I feel like 2020 and 2021 are the 2 years in my mind that do like kind of encapsulate like COVID-19 to me. And I feel like something that made like Sawayama so important to me was because this is one of the albums that I held the most closest to me during COVID. Concurrently with that was the album Chromatica by Lady Gaga, which released, if I'm not mistaken, like a month or so before Sawayama released. To me, like the both of them are kind of dual albums. And I think it is just because I associate them with the same time frame and because they are very similar singers. And so a year and a half after both of the releases, to see the two of them collaborate on a song, I thought it was kind of incredible. I think after the remix did release, Rina started to move on to her second project, Hold the Girl, which wasn't looked upon as favorably as Sawayama. And I definitely am much more partial towards the former than the latter. But I think that she still does have a lot of moments with artistic merit on her second album. I don't think it stuck to me as much as Sawayama did, however, and I do really eagerly await to hear what she puts out next. But I want to finish off with the song that I feel concludes the Sawayama era, Free Woman by Rina Sawayama, or sorry, Free Woman by Lady Gaga, featuring Rina Sawayama and Clarence Clarity. Have a good day.
spend one